Welcome to this episode of Reflections, The Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. And today I'll be interviewing Radley Valentine, who's a spiritual advisor, intuitive, a tarot reader, and also a Hay House author. He has two books working on his third. His current book is How to Be Your Own Genie. And so I'm interested in talking with him about this. He's also very active on Facebook, has a Facebook Live program where you can ask him questions. And so join me in this talk about angels, the law of attraction, and the tarot. Good. So Radley, how are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Good. I've been looking forward to this this conversation. I think there's lots of interesting topics to hit on today. But let me just first off just start, we're the Cayce Center. And how did you find out about Edgar Cayce? Or what, did you have any background with his work?
Oh, well, you know, it's, I actually, when I stopped working as an accountant and started trying to do more spiritual teaching and this kind of work instead, I got kind of bored. I'm a quintuple Sagittarius. And so.
Did you say pentuple?
Quintuple.
Quintuple. Okay.
So lots of fire, lots of energy all the time. And I got bored really fast. I wasn't going to go back to accounting, but I was like, I got to get a job or something just to use my time. And I got this job in a brick and mortar metaphysical bookstore when they were way more prominent than sadly they are today. And so I came across Edgar Cayce's stuff because I was absorbing everything in the store, and it was very prominent in the store.
So you started off your career. You were a CPA, right? Accountant, and then were you? It's a longer story than that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's. I sort of accidentally became a CPA. I actually started
at the wrong place at the wrong time, kind of thing.
Well, no, I started my college career in music and dance, to be honest. And my friends were coming back from Manhattan in tattered tights and really poor. And I was like, maybe this is not a good choice. And so for reasons I won't bore you with, I took an accounting class and I went into the final exam with 103 average. And so I was like, wow, that side of my brain really works. And by the time I came to my senses, it was too late. You know, I was getting an accounting degree. And I was really blessed. Being an accountant wasn't bad. It was just whether I was happy or not depended on who I was doing it for.
Right.
And so sometimes I was doing it for really fun and exciting people, and sometimes I wasn't.
Right.
And what actually happened was around 2000, my then boyfriend gave me a book by John Holland called Born Knowing. And it tripped me out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was like, oh my God, there really is a Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. It's called Arthur Findlay College. And all of this stuff is real. And I just tripped out. And I was like, this is what I want to do. You know, and I was always psychic. I was psychic from when I was a kid. And I was always into angels and things like that. But to think that, oh, I could actually do this, you know, that's where it started.
I see. And so then you took your kind of hobby, and then when you left being a CPA and you went into that New Age bookshop, that's where you just started giving tarot readings and things like that, and that was the beginning of...
It was funny because at first I just did things like they put me in charge of ordering the tarot cards. And so that was fun. And I was in charge of displays and things like that in the store.
Yeah.
And they had a little reading room upstairs where readings happened. And the owner of the store came in one day and he said, Radley, you're fired. And I'm like, what? And he's like, but if you want to be a reader, you're hired. And so he just sort of pushed me into it. And so that's where I started doing that. And I got trained by John Holland, and I got trained by Doreen Virtue, and I got trained by all these different people. And slowly, you know, it just happened, you know.
Now tell me about this. Your book is titled How to Be Your Own Genie. That's a great title. You know, because Casey's work is so much about self-empowerment and about how we become our own psychics and all this sort of thing. So is that in that vein? You teach it people is. How to read for themselves?
It really is. I mean, How to Be Your Own Genie is, in a way, the way it came about was everybody was always wanting to know, how did you go from CPA to Hay House author? How did that happen? And, you know, I knew the path that I had taken. I knew the things that I had done to empower myself and to find the divine magic that is within each of us. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's really a metaphor for law of attraction. Mm-hmm. You know, it really talks about how to get out of the lamp, mm-hmm. because no genie ever did magic inside the lamp. It's outside the lamp.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, and the things that I think hold people in their genie bottles or genie lamps, whichever metaphor you want to use, things like regret and fear and a lack of self-forgiveness and all of these things that keep people stuck in the lamp. Mm-hmm. But really, I wrote the book because there was two possibilities here. I either had a method to release people from lives they did not like, to go to lives that they loved through the divine magic that is within each of us by tapping into that and in essence becoming their own genie, mm-hmm. or I had just been lucky. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like the latter. I liked the former.
Yeah.
So I wrote the book and I'm, you know, it's been so incredibly humbling to hear from all the people who have said that it's, you know, that, oh my God, this makes sense. You know, and people are doing it together in book clubs and, you know, I mean, that is humbling. That can make me cry.
Yeah.
You know, to think that, oh, I wrote this little purple book and it's resonating with people. People are really waking up to the fact that they should be self-empowered to have a magical life. If you're not having a magical life, you're not doing it right.
So it's almost kind of your autobiography, because you were the genie that was in the bottle and you found your way out.
Yeah, I would hesitate to call it my autobiography. In fact, if I could have gotten away without mentioning my life at all, mm-hmm. and just said, here are the steps, I would have done that. Mm-hmm. But Hay House has amazing editors. And, you know, my editors were like, no, you can't do that. You can't. You have to show people how it happened in your life. And so, no, you don't get to ignore your life. You have to put it in there. But it's not autobiographical. There are segments where I say, okay, I did this and this is what happened.
Yeah.
But it's not all the...
Yeah, it's not your life story.
No.
Yeah. But I think that it's... I think people really relate to having a teacher that's walking the talk, you know, that this has been your experience was that you had to, in some way, come out of the closet as being spiritual. You know, you kind of, I'm here, you know, and, you know, as a CPA, you know, you were making the money it was a more secure lifestyle financially. Yeah. So it was this process of just kind of, you know, so you did come out of your bottle to be the genie. And I think that people resonate with that. You know, it's not like you're a third generation genie. You know, you were just raised to be a genie. You had to overcome obstacles, all the ones that you're helping people overcome themselves.
Right. I mean, and it's funny that, you know, I've come out of so many closets in my life that it's incredible. But, you know, it really is the truth.
Yes.
That coming out of the spiritual closet is a fear that a lot of people have.
Yes.
And, you know, I've taught thousands of students at this point how to read cards and various other parts of having a magical life. And, you know, they come out of it and they want to change their lives and they're going to quit their job and they're going to, you know, they're going to do tarot readings for a living, and that is awesome. But they want to do it hidden. You know, they go on social media and their profile picture is a mandala. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, nobody's, you know, that isn't going to work. Yeah. You've got to come out yeah. of the spiritual closet and be out in the world so that that magic flows through you and people recognize it. They see it on your face.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's hard for some people because yeah. they under families that don't understand or friends that don't understand, husbands that don't understand, yeah. and it's difficult.
Yeah, it's even using scripture, you know, it talks about if you have a light, you don't keep it under a bushel. You know, the light is meant to be out there.
Absolutely, yeah. absolutely. You know, it's funny you bring that up because, you know, two of my dear friends are Kyle Gray and Rebecca Campbell, and we were having a three-way conversation, and they were talking about what their words were for 2017 and what their words were for 2018, and I was like, what do you mean? You have a word? What is that? What is that? You have a word? I have a word. And, you know, and I decided that my word for 2018 is shine.
And
shine?
Shine. Shine. Oh, shine.
You know, it's like that's what I want to do. I want to help people in 2018 to shine. That, you know, and it's like,
well, the jacket certainly helps with that, with the shining.
that was a journey.
Yeah.
You know, I literally, this all started because I didn't start dressing this way, but I bought these pair of shoes in London, and they were just covered in Swarovski crystals, and people went bananas. I wore them on stage, people went nuts, and it just slowly was this thing that sort of happened, and that the more I let my insides sparkle on the outside, the more successful I was, the better it was. And that was also a sort of a coming out of the closet, yes. because most Hay House authors just ran around in black shirts and black pants, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm out here being all, you know, and it's like you said, people want that. They want the authentic you.
Yes.
This is the me on the inside. Yeah. And when I let it out, then that's when people were like, okay,
yeah.
we recognize you.
Yeah.
See,
well, that's like practicing your talk. I mean, you're living what you're teaching, which I think has a lot of power. Now let's get to the, you mentioned earlier just about that you've, as a child or growing up, you were intuitive and you worked with angels. And I know that angels play a part in the work that you do and what you teach. You could tell us a little bit about that.
I love angels. I have loved angels. I didn't know it at the time, but I actually met my guardian angel when I was 5 years old. And I came to realize much later that that voice was, oh, that's Joshua. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I made the connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that angels are wonderful. I mean, think about this. These are creatures, souls, sent to us by the divine who want nothing more than to help us,
mm-hmm.
to help us find joy, to help us to get to the path of having a magical life. That's all they want. They just want to do that. And archangels are fantastic, and people love archangels, I think, because, you know, it's like it's real easy to say, oh, I don't feel safe, so I'll call Archangel Michael, or I need some transformation in my life, I'll contact Archangel Uriel. And they've got their set little things, and they're sort of the superstars, right?
Yes.
No, but guardian angels, think about that. They weave in and out of lifetimes with us. They are dedicated to us and nobody else. I mean, and they're always with us. They know everything we're doing, good or bad. The love is unconditional, completely always there. They may be going at what you're doing at that particular moment, but they still love you and they're still going to help you. And so So I was really into angels. Part of that was my mom. My mom was into angels, not the same way as me. She, you know, she had her little mug that said, "Have you hugged your angel today?" And her bumper sticker said, "Never drive faster than your angel can fly." Mm-hmm. And she liked all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I was really, I was like, yeah, that's all cute, mom. I let's talk to the angels.
Yeah.
And so I, that's how that all, how I got into that. And, you know, growing up in Knoxville, Tennessee, you know, there were not a lot of spiritual teachers just hanging around, but there was this thing called the internet. And back then it went, you know, you were excited with your 28.8 baud.
Yeah.
You had that. And, you know, and so I found teachers in other cities who taught me about angels and helped me with that.
And how do you, what are some of the tips that you give to your readers or how can people get a, you know, start or initiate a process of communicating with their angels?
Yeah, absolutely. So the angels have this, I'm also a sci-fi nerd. Mm-hmm. So on Star Trek, there's the Prime Directive and you can't interfere with a society and blah, blah, blah. Well, angels have a Prime Directive.
Uh-huh.
And so they, unless it's some sort of life-threatening situation, angels cannot intervene in your life unless you ask.
Mm-hmm.
And so ask, you know, ask every day. Put a, write on a post-it note, ask. Put it on your dashboard of your car. Put it on your bathroom mirror. But start that connection.
Yeah.
Start saying, I want to know you better. I want, send me signs. Send me white feathers. Send, let the numbers 444, which mean your angels are with you. Let that show up on the driver's license plate in front of me. You know, start making that connection so that I can understand and believe that you're there, because it's all faith.
Yeah. You know? And then so each person starts to develop their own kind of path with their angel communication, how the channel starts to open up for them. But the first step is to ask and then to begin to notice what you're asking for. Yeah.
I mean, having a magical life, and that includes angels in your life, is about being awake. If you're asleep, and by that is a metaphor, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not awake to the synchronicities of life, if you're not awake to the magic that is flowing between you and me and that other person over there, and the magic that is happening around us, then you're going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to think it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't get up in the morning and tell your angels, oh, send me some signs today. And then forget about it. Get in your car and drive to work and drop the kids off and work all day long. And then think about, you know, what am I getting the kids for dinner? Pick up the kids, go home, and then say, oh, my angels didn't talk to me today. But if you had been awake, you would have realized that you opened the car door and stepped over a white feather to get into the car. And playing on the radio was Calling All Angels.
Mm-hmm.
And you drive past something with an angel and a billboard, and you're seeing none of it.
Right.
Because you're not awake.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
Now, how does the tarot play into your work?
You know, that was the thing. I had this teacher that was in Indiana that was teaching me about angels, and she also loved the tarot, and so they came together, and I didn't know until much later that most people considered them to be strange bedfellows. You know, I just thought they went together. And my challenge was that I didn't like the blood and gore. You know, I didn't see the need for 10 swords in somebody's back laying in a pool of blood to just say, situation over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seemed unnecessary.
Yeah.
And I think that, so that's when I started getting really involved and excited about, okay, let's take the fear out of this thing. Let's not, I don't want to dilute it. I don't want to make it all happy cards. The 78 cards have to stay what they are. Three of Swords, or whatever you call it, is still heartbreak. We just don't have to have three swords through a heart dripping in blood. Mm-hmm. We don't need that. Mm-hmm. We can do this a better way. Mm-hmm. And keep the depth and breadth of Tarot in the cards, but make them not so frightening, because the biggest challenge for people with tarot is they're scared of it. They're scared of it. Mm-hmm. They've got angel oracle cards. They aren't creepy. Mm-hmm. But tarot has a depth that sometimes other oracle cards don't have. And so by taking some of that, taking the fear out of it, you know, it's like the death card never ever means death. So why call it death? So, you know, we changed a few words. Change the imagery. If I took symbolism out that was frightening, I tried to put symbolism back in that meant the same thing. Mm-hmm.
So what's your symbolism for heartbreak, like, for example?
Oh, sure. Well, for example, in one of my decks, it's Archangel Michael sitting on a boulder, actually, and he's got a woman in his arms. And she is crying on his shoulders. Still says heartbreak.
Right,
that's
but getting
sorrow.
Getting support.
Right. Yeah. But it says, it also says, there is help for you.
Yeah.
In your sorrow and in your heartbreak.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, so that is much less intimidating. And, you know, I guess there's still with the New Age this belief that, like, astrology, that there's like a sinful, or like it goes against God's plan. And mm-hmm. I think that making it, keeping the symbology, the meaning there, but making it less seem like it's something to be afraid of or something that's going to draw you in the wrong direction. That's really helpful.
Doesn't that make God so small? I mean, it's like that whole belief system is something I don't understand, you know, because it's like that whole belief system that it must be this way, or it must be that way, or God created the world in 7 days, but he can't make astrology valid. It just makes God so small. It puts him in a box.
Yeah.
And, you know, God's going to send you to hell if you aren't good. Yeah. Well, that's a very petty little God.
Right.
Where did he come from?
Right.
You know? And so that's one of the things that I really feel strongly about, is taking the fear out of spirituality in all ways.
Yeah.
You know, to remind people that the divine source, God, goddess, I don't care which name you pick, they're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many paths that are joyful and right for you, but not right for somebody else. And all of the, we're all going back to source. There's mm-hmm. nowhere else to go. So let's just back off each other. All right. Think about God as really big and really amazing and really just the very essence of love. And it makes that other stuff seem pretty silly, at least in my humble opinion.
Exactly. It's really operating from the premise that God is love.
Exactly. And isn't that what we're supposed to think?
Yes.
I mean, I nothing else makes sense to me.
Yes. Now, just switching up a little bit. Now, on Facebook, I understand that you have an Ask Rad on Sundays, and they and people they message you a question, and then you use the tarot, a card, or some kind of process to answer their questions.
It's actually video.
Uh-huh.
What I'm doing is I'm using Facebook Live and also Instagram and simulcasting to both at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And so I give them the angel messages for the week.
Yeah.
Tell them what to expect for the week.
Yeah.
And then after that, I take questions. And it's like I'll do readings for them, or sometimes it's a teachable moment, which I love because I love teaching. It'll be somebody that says, which archangel should I be working with to help with my health problems? And that's a teachable moment, and I love those. And yeah, so I do is – I mean, I can't get everybody, You know, I wish I could get everybody, because it's thousands of people at a time.
So is it about an hour that you're on there? Or?
I do about 10 minutes of the angel messages for the week, and then I do 30 minutes of readings. And normally I do that on Sunday, and then I also do 30 minutes on a Friday so that the Australians can tune in. And but I've at the moment I'm not doing Fridays because I'm writing the book.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But
so
I'm still
do you do it? You're committed. It's the same time, like
yes,
10 a.m. And so you on Sundays. That's what you're there.
Yeah, it's 9 a.m. Pacific on Sundays, noon Eastern, 10 a.m. for me in Mountain Zone, and yeah, and so we have a lot of fun. We talk.
What a great service! It's so it's free. Anyone on or off of Facebook or Instagram can tune in and.
Anytime.
Ask a question or maybe listen to the answers. Now, are you finding, are there any, like when you think of in general, is there, do you get common questions? Is there like, are people concerned about similar things at this time?
There's always a theme. Mm-hmm. If it's romance day, it's romance day for everybody. It's pretty hilarious. It's very law of attraction, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay, today is career day today, you know. So there usually seems to be a theme for which I like to tell people, you know, again, the universe is really big. It's really amazing. It's really magical. So if someone's got the same question that you have and that answer resonates to you as well, take it as also for you.
Yes.
The number one thing people tend to ask me is they want their guardian angel's names. And for a really long time, I didn't want to answer that question because getting my guardian angel's names was such a blessing, such a beautiful experience that I didn't want to rob them of that. And so mm-hmm. I would try to teach them how to do it. Mm-hmm. And then one day I was on my Hay House radio show and I started to say, you know, I don't want to do that. I want you to do it yourself. Let me show you how. And Joshua was just practically yelled in my ear, do it. Like, really? And he's like, just do it. And I did. And, you know, I've just come to realize that it's something people desperately want. They don't believe that they can do it for themselves. And by me doing it, it starts a dialogue with them and their angels. They feel like if they've got that name, they've got that extra something that they need. And if they start talking to their angels, then yay. So
that's great. Yeah. Now you mentioned the law of attraction. Does that weave into your work, like in with the tarot or with angels? How does it weave in?
Well, I mean, first of all, I believe in my readings. I mean, I try to make sure that people understand that my readings are meant to be uplifting, and so if. Sometimes I see difficult things, but I try to turn that around and say, okay, so that sounds challenging. What are we going to do to fix that? And so by doing readings in an uplifting way and teaching people to do readings in an uplifting way, that person walks out feeling empowered. That person walks out feeling hopeful. Mm-hmm. That person walks out thinking, oh, there's hope for joy. There's hope for my life. And that starts power the law of attraction for them. Mm. So, I mean, it's part of Genie is all about getting yourself to snap out of it and spiral up, not down, to focus on that which makes you happy, not that which feels like lack, to get you into joy, not into sorrow, to that away.
Yes, so, exactly.
Right. So that's the way that I look at it.
Now, we're going to have to wrap up soon, but what's your new projects? What are you looking into? What's coming up for you?
Yeah, sure. So I've got a new book that will be coming out in November. So I'm very excited about that. I'm almost done with it. I also just got a 2-deck contract from Hay House, so they want 2 more decks from me. So those will be coming out the year after that and the year after that. Doing a lot of travel and a lot of countries, lots of places, spreading the Genie gospel.
And what's your new book on? Is it like Genie 2?
No, this is a book. This is a book that really what it does is we sort of talked about it a little bit. That whole aspect of taking fear out of spirituality and getting an understanding of different belief systems and different ways of communicating with the divine and understanding why they're not scary.
Yeah.
And some will resonate, some won't.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But well, if you got a new way to talk to the divine, then yay.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, while you're here, when you come here to Virginia Beach at the Casey Material or even online, you know, he had a lot to say about fears. Like one of the things that pops into my mind is he said we attract our fears because they're our greatest teachers.
Right.
And so that's a thought I put out there.
That's true, and I agree with that. But I also think that if we stay in the fear, we just got stuck in
right,
the water.
Right. It's almost like that. There's different ways to learn. You can either learn the hard way, or there's easier ways to learn.
That's right.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
Like
go ahead.
I like the easy way.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I really enjoyed our talk. You have a, I could see you just have a healing energy. So I think that people that get to work with you and when you come here to Virginia Beach, that people are going to be very fortunate. You just kind of. It's just your I'm sure even as a CPA, you were a healing CPA. So you just bring that with you wherever you go.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have a blast.
Good thing. Well, I enjoyed talking to you. I hope to meet you sometime either here or at a Hay House event or anywhere.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you too.